And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
The podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. No, I don't.
We don't?
No, I don't have a new gold. I was going to. Oh, I forgot. I'm still on my little stage.
Bubba's standing on his stage.
I have
to
have,
I don't need to. Is Zeke still taller than Bubba if Bubba's standing on his
platform? Wait, I contest it.
Hold on.
Oh, my God, yes, he's still taller than you. Oh, my God. This is almost.
Well, he's 6'7".
So yeah. Bubba
5'9".
Plus what
stage.
Is that, 6 inches? So
yeah, about a six-inch stage.
Oh, that's the highlight of my week.
Okay, I had to make a little stage because I'm 5'9", and I've got all these computer monitors in front of me right here. Mm-hmm. So when a guest is sitting there, let's say Maren Morris, who is all of 5'1", maybe.
I'm 5', and she's shorter than me.
Okay, so Maren Morris is tiny. So if you get me off of this... Boom.
Oh,
can't.
You can't see
oh,
her.
Yeah, you are tiny.
I can't see her, so it's like I'm talking to. I might as well be on the phone.
So good.
So I made this little stage, and so I can flip it up and fold it down. What, man?
Nothing. We always laugh at you for having a box to stand on, but it's
you're
extra
so
funny today.
Like you should be embarrassed by it, but
He's not.
This would be the equivalent of me going.
The
so you know what I did
America.
Was I took elastic and I put it in all my pants. So now.
Wait! I did that. What are you talking about?
But he's so excited.
I am, dude. Anyway. Look, it's the ingenuity of America. This is what we do. We fix stuff. We find a problem. We fix things. Done.
Zeke,
we have to do the same thing on our show. Ashley is only 5 foot tall.
Yeah.
And standing next to me the first time she walked out, like you couldn't block that on camera at all.
Yeah.
So they had to put her on a box.
Zeke, that's the voice of Zeke Stout. He is on the new show called Master of Arms.
Not just on it, the co-host.
Yes.
That's right.
And co-judge?
Technically host with co-judge, but co-host. We've heard it 20 different ways. But I think on my paycheck it says host.
I got off my stage. I can see him without my stage.
Oh, no kidding.
There
those
you
shows
go.
Pay well.
Go stand behind the Christmas tree. I bet you can still see him.
Zeke, do those shows pay well?
No. When I said my paycheck, it's only like a couple dollars. So it's not bad.
Season one is on any... No, but honestly, and this is something we've picked up from our work with TV and stuff. Season one things... never really pay great. It's the
two.
Future season. Season two and
usually
moving
three.
Forward,
yeah.
Season three is the sweet spot.
They're like drug dealers. They're like, here, you can have a little taste for free.
Yeah.
But then like it's two or three more times later than you actually get money.
And it's weird how many years like the residual checks come in. You're like, why are we getting paid for that? That was 20 years ago.
I don't know if that works that way with reality or with nonfiction
with
stuff.
With cable, they don't do as much residual. So it's more like the major networks that do that.
Oh.
Yeah, with what you're talking about is something you were acting, and SAG will still occasionally send Big D and Bubba a check for an acting job they did 3 years ago.
Oh, nice.
That was like 4 years ago, I thought.
It's
been a while, but it's like, yeah, it
was
comes
that before
in and
you worked
no,
here,
I
Carson?
Was here.
Carson was
oh,
here. So
okay. Yeah, I was here.
2016, but
yeah,
still,
but still,
we earned our money though.
Yeah, they showed up and they spent a whole day there to take 10 minutes.
Worth Two of stuff. Days,
sat in a trailer with Bubba for 5 hours.
It was
oh, man.
Freezing.
Yeah, you'll
cold.
Want your money too.
I always say you try to get your money back in catering, just to eat everything
listen,
that they put
I,
out
they
and take
we
it
did.
Home.
We did.
They oh,
didn't,
we did.
They didn't pay me, but I went and I ate the food.
Ate their food.
Oh man, I ate their food too. It was so good.
So, Zeke, tonight's the, I mean, this is the beginning, this is the premiere.
Yeah, this is the premiere. First episode is tonight.
And for those who don't know what the episode is about, I mean, we talked to you on the show about it, but give us a quick 30-second wrap-up.
So
you can go longer than 30 if you'd like.
Longer than 30?
If you want.
Or I could be, like, I've been in radio, so I could be like those annoying guests that go, it's a TV show, and just not say anything. And then
you
then
can watch a commercial.
There's weapons, and then you'll have to keep it. No, I won't do that.
No.
It's a weapons competition building show, and we bring three of the best craftsmen in the world in their specialty, whether it's firearms or archery or blades.
Oh, so wait a minute. I thought it was going to be like a surprise, like somebody who they might be a blade person.
It is.
And they can get surprised with a gun?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the first episode, I can tell you this because it's on the premiere. I mean, it's on the all the promotions. The first episode, they get the first build. It's a battle axe. And they're like, oh, okay, battle axe. A lot of these guys are blacksmiths, and okay, I can figure this out. And then the second part of the reveal, the two guys that go forward into the second round, Ashley lifts the box. Oh, you got to attach that battle axe to a flintlock pistol. And the looks on their faces were just like,
Do they have to make the flintlock also?
Yes. Well, the actual firing mechanism, safety reasons, we have to give them that. I mean, it's not put together. They have to put it together, but we give them the parts for it. Wow. Also, time constraints. I mean, that would take forever and the CNC machine and everything else. But they have to make the stock. They have to put the embellishments on there. They have to do the engravings, the checkering, everything that they've got to do with it.
Isn't it amazing the things that people can do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the most incredible thing about this show, is seeing the craftsmanship they put into this stuff.
I saw the thing with the blunderbuss.
Yeah.
A blunderbuss, by the way, is like old school shotgun, man.
Yeah. It was the precursor for the shotgun.
Isn't that the bus you took to school, Patrick?
That was the blubberbuss. The
blubberbuss. No, but like, when that happens, are they going to have to make it like the whole thing?
Yes. Yes. We give them barrel stock. But they have to do the flare themselves. So if people don't know, this is on film, right? So
yeah,
I can do my hands.
Well, it looks like a little horn.
I got to remember radio versus
TV.
Yeah, it does. It looks like the end of a trumpet. They take the end of the barrel and they have to flare it out. But other than that, they get a block of wood. They got to make their own stock. They get the parts to the flintlock mechanism and they have to put them together the right way. And some of them are raw parts, so they have to do some polishing and fitting and finishing.
And this is all in a 60-minute TV show?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty intense. Each episode, I would say we had anywhere from 50 to 70 hours of footage that they whittled down to 43 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I don't have to edit that. It's days like today where I'm glad that I don't have to work in television.
TV's great. It's great for exposure and all kinds of stuff. But, God, it's so clunky.
Yeah.
It is so close.
It takes so much footage to get so little time.
Yep.
Like, I couldn't imagine filming a movie. I mean, because they have 15,000 takes. Like, you're doing is something where you're filming people making things.
Right.
They're not going to do a retake, you know, oh, I just screwed up, whatever, because you want that in the show. You want the drama. Mm-hmm. For a movie, if they screw up, then they have to go and do the whole scene over, and you got to set up all
that. I was watching a documentary on Monty Python. And they were talking about that they spent an entire day, 10 hours of shooting, and how crazy it was because they actually got 10 whole minutes. I mean, 10 minutes of screen time on only one day. And how fascinating. I mean, if you really think about it, it's just unbelievable. And I'm like, you filmed for 10 hours? You got 10 minutes?
Shame on
you.
That
was it?
Yeah.
And they were all talking about it like, I can't believe we got 10 whole minutes in just a single day. I'm like, that was some kind of miraculous thing, and I'm sitting here going, oh my God, if I spent 10 hours and all I got was 10 minutes of workable audio out of it.
How many of us have seen around town when they're filming Nashville, and you'll see all the 18 wheelers rolled up and they've got signs for where you're supposed to go, and you see all the cars.
Extras there for hours waiting for one thing.
You go
and
out,
that scene ends up being 45 seconds on the show. Mm-hmm.
Unreal. And I felt like we were kind of lucky in that aspect because being a game show and there was $10,000 on the line, we had a lot of legal stuff that we had to make sure was cut and dry. It has to be like this. So the first round and the second round of the build, we lay out, you have 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, whatever it is in the first round. And then the second round, they get 3 days. And it had to be like that. So they had to get as much footage as they could in that time. But we didn't have to, like you said, we didn't have to shoot those 4 hours of them building 20 times. No, they got their 4 hours and it was done.
Yeah.
If they screwed up, they screwed up. So
it's like
that.
Well, if you give a director time or unlimited time, they will use it.
Oh,
yeah. If you give a director 4 hours, they will use the whole 4 hours. If you tell them they can tape it again, they'll tape it again. We had one project that we taped a pilot for where I feel like we did scenes over and over again for literally no reason, just because.
Oh, it was
just on
extras.
A whim. Just to
so I didn't realize
prove
that
they could
because
it.
There's money involved that they have. Like, is it like an insurance policy type thing? That they have like someone who's kind of watching it with a clipboard going, okay, well, this was that. And
it's more, I think it stems from, what was that old movie? It was, well, not old. It was like in the 90s, but they filmed it in black and white. It was about the game show scandals.
29.
Quiz show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carson.
And because of that, they had to put a lot of rules on any TV or radio shows that were shows. So, There's certain
we have to live by those rules too. I mean, this is why we don't do a lot of contests, because you have to do some really strict
because we don't follow rules
laws, and we are really bad
we're
at
not
following
great rule followers. Yeah.
So we're like, well, you know, screw it.
You wonder why we're in a building running our own company? Yep. Not so good at following rules.
So you'll see. I'm a big goofball, anyways, and I ad lib a lot of stuff. But you'll see on the show where all of a sudden I'm very serious and I'm like, you will have 5 hours to complete this. But those are the rules. Like, when I get real serious, those are the rules that are happening.
That's
and then when I'm smiling, there's no rules involved.
It's funny because even in the next world, which is online and digital. thank you, Bubba, for, as always, derailing whatever I'm about to say. Just every time.
Hi, Grandpa.
I missed my puppy.
Even in the next iteration of game shows, which is online, like HQ, every night on HQ, they got to read that script. And I was playing with my fiance and another friend, and we were just sitting in a restaurant watching. And she goes, "Why do they have to? They really have to do this every night?" Yeah, they actually legally have to do this every night. They have to tell you all the rules, and it's all scripted out for them. They got to follow it verbatim because that's what keeps it legal.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just come on and go, "Okay, you guys have played this 100 times each. Let's just do this. Go, here's question
one."
Well,
like with HQ, they could do that, but they don't have to have all the talk, all the other filler stuff.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of wasted.
Well, they're waiting for people to join the game.
But
right.
But
they're trying to get more views.
The stuff that they say every time.
Well, maybe if people were on time, you...
Okay.
It's people like Bubba. We wouldn't have these issues.
Yeah, Bubba's always
late.
Start?
Okay, Carson.
I'm just putting it
Bubba.
Out there.
Carson's little, already picked up. Okay. Bubba's always late. Only took you 2.5 years, Carson. Good job.
Where will you be tonight when you're watching the premiere?
Tonight we're having a premiere. Is this going live? Because
we're on right now.
You don't have to say, podcast will be.
So we're
delayed,
having a premiere here in Nashville, and I'm inviting like some close friends and family, a lot of people that have helped both in my YouTube career with like the firearms world and all that. They'll all be there.
Yeah,
a couple of musicians will be there, and I'm gonna watch it there. Very small, tight knit group.
Is that at your house or something?
No, it's at a public location that is undisclosed.
There you go. That's better.
I'll tell y'all off air.
Yeah, don't say it on Facebook Live.
I'm just being honest. I won't be there.
it's not you he's worried about. It's whoever's on the other side of that camera.
Yes.
That sounds awful.
We've made that mistake before, where either on the radio or on the podcast I used to have, where we were like, "Oh yeah, we're gonna do this, and all of a sudden some strange people started showing up.
A guy in full armor.
I made this
chainmail.
Well, that was the one thing about having Talking Lead was the first dab into the entertainment world I did, and it was a firearms podcast. And we had a lot of fans, and people would come up, "Oh, it must be cool to have groupies." And I'm like, "Yeah, if you like having groupies that are old militia members."
I would be okay with that, as long as we're all cool with each other.
Exactly.
Handing out the Constitution at Halloween.
Hello, kids. That was our groupies.
Kids, here's a copy of the Bill of Rights.
And remember, if an officer ever pulls you over, just say you're a traveler.
I love those videos, man.
See, when I watch live PD, that's like my Friday and Saturday thing. And I know you're like, wait, we're on at the same time. I get that. I'm just saying, I DVR everything. I actually have it set for like 15 different shows all at the same time. And I just watch them all within 24 hours because I know it's good for your ratings. But like whenever you see people get pulled over and they're pulling out the Constitution and they've got these laminated things going, "Look, you see right here in the articles of confabulation on there is a precedent that was set that I am free to do this, this, and this." That's some crazy serious thought these people put into it.
I would tase everyone.
Yes, exactly.
Tase everyone, deal with the consequences.
And it's the simple fact that, you know, most police officers are I'm not saying all. There's some oddballs out there. But most police officers, if you just defuse them, because every time they walk up to your car, there's one thing they're thinking. I want to make it home to my wife and kids.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't want to get shot.
Right.
So if you have your hands on the steering wheel, you got your ID ready, and you say, here you go. If you carry, you have your carry permit with you. You say, I have a firearm. It's on my hip. It is loaded. You defuse them immediately, especially if you got a carry permit, because that you've had a background check all the way through the FBI if you get that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what it's all about, defusing them. But if you've got your hands down here and you're getting the camera ready and you're filming them and you're like, oh, I know my rights. Well, they're on edge. They're already on edge walking up to your car. Now you've just made it worse.
This guy asked me, pulled me over, and he's like, you seem nervous. You're sweating. I said, I'm just fat.
I mean, a good rule of thumb is don't answer their questions with a question.
Yes.
Because right there, you are that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
what
are
you talking about?
I'm the I'm the king of getting out of tickets. And I was talking to a bud of mine, and he goes, man, I don't know how you get out of tickets all the time. I go, you know, because, look, I look like they do. I just look
You do have a cop look to you.
Just have it, a kind of that dude, kind of a cop, kind of a generic
also,
look.
Also, he doesn't want to admit that he tries to make the cops laugh. I'm not even sure he tries, but he does. He says things like that. It's very, you're very jovial and diffusing. And
I guess you're right. Those guys just want to, and girl, like gals. I have a hard time with that. When I have no problem saying guys, but I don't want to say girls because it sounds like they're young.
But we're in the South.
I say
gals,
but
it's all
women. It's just some ladies.
We don't have, I was talking to a friend of mine about this 2 days ago, and I said, we don't have the female equivalent for guys because gals basically something your great-grandfather would say. Right.
I feel like I should be in a musical with like suspenders and a top hat and say gal. Exactly.
Hey, gals.
Well, listen, gals.
So what do you, Carson, what do you prefer? Do you, what do you say to
ladies.
Each other?
See, like, I say chicks, which is not something you guys can get away with.
No,
so
we just can't. I mean, we can. But it like
we're
lately,
have to live with the consequences.
It kind of you kind of go, man, I'll sign these chicks, and that's fine. But
I know I can say it, and nobody thinks twice. But for you, the problem
there's
is
a little
hesitation.
Yeah,
me too.
You have to go with ladies or women, which are both really formal and not what we're looking for. But I get it, so I appreciate you even caring. That's the battle.
I usually say ladies.
Yeah,
I'll say lady cop.
You're equivalent.
I say
just
lady
don't
cop
say
and
lady
cop.
Friend, because that is that a really uncomfortable
no,
friend.
It's weird, though.
Who's, that's my lady friend.
I say cop.
Oh man, like, that's a creeper word.
When you say cop, is that if you say cop, does that count for both guys and girls?
Yes. Uh-huh. You don't have to say lady cop. That's
you say lady cop?
I don't know. I never really gave it much thought, but I would say, guys and lady cops.
I say
you can't do that because
I
then
say
it's weird.
Comedian.
Yeah, but every time you do, the lady comedian who's in here goes, don't do that.
Yeah, that is that's
it's really weird.
We had that same problem on the show. So everybody was craftsmen. Well, we did have one lady that was on there. And we asked her, we're like, do you want us to say craftspeople?
Or craftswoman?
Craftswoman. And she was like, no, just say craftsman.
Yeah.
You know, that, and so that's kind of what
we're
rolled
trying
with.
Too
we
hard.
Asked her first, and she, you know, we rolled
everybody's
with
trying too hard.
And then one
I just quit it.
But back to the guys, I did walk out, and I was like, all right, guys. And then, like, the producer was like, nah, let's just say people or something. I'm like,
okay, everybody.
That's what I ended up saying.
No, because guys is all-encompassing. I would agree with you on that. Yeah. I would
in
not
the
take
South,
that.
It's like, all right, guys.
Yeah.
Carson, do you have a problem with people who say mankind?
Oh, no, I don't even think about it, really.
Nobody with sins has a problem with that.
Well, I was going to say, out of everybody, you're probably asking the wrong person because Carson is about the most dude-like lady that I've ever met.
Yeah, but she's also very...
she is very conscious.
Yes.
I'm very much waving my chick flag.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, but I'm not calling it her story or anything.
Oh, my God.
Instead of history?
Oh, seriously.
That's just a thing.
So,
no,
I mean,
it's not.
Thing people do.
That's
yes,
not a thing.
It is.
Wow.
Well, I mean, do you
the
think
name
I
of
made
known
that
as greatest
I'm
hits
not
album.
That clever.
First three.
Yeah, so.
So can we not say human anymore? Is it hume them?
Wow, I didn't even think about
it's
that.
Hue y'all.
Hue y'all. I like it. I think we should start hashtag hue y'all.
Hue y'all.
So this is social media. Here,
you can take this even further and get even worse with it. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, let's not. Hey. Okay. So Zeke. When Carson started working with us a few years back, we found out that she had never fired a gun before.
Oh, I just realized this is where Dee was going with this. And, Bubba, do you have the video? Can you show it?
I do somewhere.
And
yeah.
So we we took some time out after the show and went to a range. Into a range and let her
good
shoot
men.
Some stuff.
I mean, good people. I'm
good.
Sorry.
Good dudes.
And it was fascinating to introduce her to that because, you know, I think everyone, whether you like them or not, you at least need to be familiar with it before you make that decision.
Yes.
Carson, what did you think about it?
How do I put this? I am still extremely intimidated by them, and which I think is probably a good thing because you should respect the power that they have. And I would like to go do it again because I feel like if there is a zombie apocalypse, I am going to fail because there's I still don't know exactly what I'm doing. And I'm still very – I mean, if you watch the video, I sit there and I hold a gun for the better part of a minute –
Before you pull the trigger, because
I was so frightened by recoil or something.
It is on our YouTube channel for those of you who want to.
Nervous.
First time ever. All right. This is your safety. When you're ready to fire.
What were we shooting today? Bodyguard?
That was a 380. A little sick.
Like the noise scared me.
I know, Memento.
All right, here she goes. She's holding it.
Where did that go?
Right in the neck.
Oh, okay.
Right in the first
bullseye.
Okay. Beautiful shot.
Oh,
got the
opportunity.
Sure. So how was it?
They're scared. There's some dude in the lane next to us, and I still was like, can you go somewhere else? Like, you're freaking me out, man.
See, if that would have been me, I would have had my 500 Magnum out there and just waited till you weren't paying attention and then looked, smiled real big, and whoo!
Nope. And I would have taken off running for the door, not even left. No, like, okay, we're done.
Y'all did it right. Y'all started with the 380, and then an AR is a good one because a lot of people think ARs are these big, powerful rifles. They're technically a .22 caliber. They're just a larger cartridge.
Yes.
And those are good weapons for people that have never shot to start off with because if you do, you see these videos of, like, boyfriends handing their girlfriend a freaking Desert Eagle.
Yeah.
And she pops herself in the head. Well, guess what? That girl is never going to shoot a gun.
And she's going to always be afraid of it or whatever.
And she'll always have that messed up scar on her face.
He dumps her right after.
My favorite is still women shooting 20 gauges where they get these little tiny 100-pound, 5-foot-nothing ladies, and they give them a 20 gauge and watch them fly. Yeah. It's funny every time.
But it really is. But see, that's not how you make somebody a fan of firearms.
No, but it was.
Not at all. We know that.
They handed me some gun, and it was so heavy.
Oh, it was. I had a 40.
Okay, and I just stood there. And I couldn't pull the trigger. And part of it was I was afraid of recoil, that I was afraid I was going to hit myself in the face. And
40 is one of the snappiest.
But I was going to say, it wasn't bad, was it?
I never fired it.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I literally sat there for the better. And I said, I can't do this. And I put it down because I was too afraid of,
And the best way to do it is to start like you guys did. You know, start with something small. Once they're comfortable with that, then let them try bigger things. Because another pet peeve I have of mine, did I even say that right?
No, that was so bad.
Another peeve of mine is when you're at a gun shop and a lady walks up, female person, however we're supposed to say
human.
It. Human, walks up to the counter and she's like, hey, I'm just getting into firearms. I'd like to try something. Oh, well, perfect for you is this little pink 380 revolver or 38 revolver.
Yeah.
And it's like, my wife carries a Glock 17. Women can handle bigger firearms.
And you don't have to paint them pink.
No,
just
you
want
don't.
To put that out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and you don't have to say, okay, just because she's a female, she can only handle a 38 special or a 380. But you do want to start them there, especially if they've never shot anything before. Well, that way they get.
You would start anyone there.
My daughter, actually, that was her thing. Whenever she first started shooting, she wanted a pink gun.
Yeah.
So guess what she got? A pink gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever she wants.
Hey, you know what pink guns do just as well as gray guns?
They
shoot bullets.
They shoot bullets.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what color the gun is.
Yeah.
You know.
So with your time doing, you know, with as a gun expert and doing all this stuff, what is have you found is the best home security firearm?
It depends on your home. So if you live in a house, so for instance, for me, my master bedroom is downstairs. All my kids' bedrooms are upstairs. So I know that if someone gets in the house, I'm not worried about over-penetration. And yes, everybody grinned on that one.
I didn't because I knew what you were talking about.
I'm never worried about it either.
So you got drywall. A lot.
I'm sorry. There's the timing.
That was awesome. Guns are not like they are in movies. You know, you don't get a bullet in your chest and it stops there. Typically, if you shoot a bad guy or you miss the bad guy, it's going to go through sheetrock, wood, a few other things. And if you know that the lower level of your house and where somebody might get in, there's a kid's room beyond it, the dogs are in another room beyond it, you need to have something capable of not penetrating that much. Then you look at the shotgun, you know. But that's why
for the pistol at the house, I use frangible ammo.
Right, and that's not a bad idea.
So it won't go through and, you know, end up in the next room.
Right. With me, everybody's upstairs. I'm not as worried unless somebody gets in upstairs. About that, I have an AR and a HK VP9 next to my bed.
What's an HK VP9?
It's a striker fire pistol that HK came out to compete with Glocks.
Okay, so it's like a handgun type.
Yeah, it's a handgun. Yeah, semi-automatic handgun.
Okay. So these frangible rounds that he was talking about, will those, you can get those in any kind of, for any gun, any?
For the most part. I don't think I've seen a caliber that you can't get.
And what will it, where, like, how does that work?
The bullets are not the same makeup. So, and to clarify, the bullets, the projectile that comes out of the whole cartridge, the whole thing is actually ammunition cartridge. The bullets are only the tip that comes out of that.
Right.
So those are made up of material that will just, break for lack up, of a better kind of term, shatter when it hits something or break up.
Is that worse, though, when it hits someone you're trying to drop? Or is that better because it breaks up?
It does a lot more damage.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of maybe the perfect thing.
Yeah. Yeah. There's actually some ammo companies that are making bullets that are like teeth that break up and like shred as they open into a wound. So
wow.
Ooh.
Yeah. But, I mean, any bullet, and that's another thing that you hear a lot is stopping power. That's another movie fallacy. You know, I used to work in the medical field, and I saw somebody walk into the ER, had been shot 5 times, center mass, with a .45, and said, "I've been shot."
Wow.
So stopping power, it doesn't happen like that. You know, it doesn't like somebody goes flying back 10 feet into the wall because they got shot by a shotgun.
Well, that's how it works in the movies.
Yeah. No, it doesn't happen that way.
I didn't know that. I thought it was.
You hear a lot of people say that, oh, a .45's got better stopping power than a .9. It's like,
it's the bullets that you're using.
Yeah. Once it goes in, a lot of time the adrenaline level's so high on these crazy people that they're not going to feel it.
Or they could be methed up or you don't know what's going on. Yeah. And it also depends on if you hit something important. That's the biggest thing. You know, when you're talking stopping power, if you hit something very important, like a heart or a major artery or something like that, then you're gonna stop somebody. But you know, if you miss major organs, and it goes right through them, then no, you're not going to stop that person.
Yeah, and anybody that buys a gun and decides they want to carry it, train. The carry permit class does not prepare you for anything. I remember the first tactical training class I took after my carry permit class. And you get that carry permit, you're like, oh, I can protect my family from anything. I'm ready. And then I go to that first training and, you know, 6 hours in, I'm like, I would have died. this would not have been pretty if I would have used what I learned there.
Wow, really?
Oh, yeah. So you go to a training permit class. I mean, a carry permit class. You're in a stall, standing still. you're shooting a piece of paper 10 yards away, mm-hmm. and you have to hit it, I don't know what it is, but I'm just going to say 60 out of 100 times. That doesn't prepare you for anything. If you're in a life or death situation and you're standing still aiming at a stationary target, you are going to get shot or stabbed or die. And so when you go to beyond that to more defensive firearms classes, mm-hmm. you learn to be moving as you're reloading. You learn to be taking cover. You don't learn that standing in a stall.
Right.
But you get this empowerment of feeling, oh, I'm ready, but you're not.
Right.
And everybody that I've talked to that goes beyond that carry permit class and starts taking these other trainings, they're like, oh my God, I had no idea what I was doing, and I would have died in this situation.
Yeah, that's kind of like the thing that gets you in the door.
Right.
You know, you
right,
get your exactly. concealed permit or whatever, and you're good. Now you're in the door. Now you have to learn how to walk.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your favorite gun that you personally own?
My VP9. Yeah, the one I was talking about, the handgun. Uh-huh. No, actually, I take that back. I have a cheap... paid $150 for it, Mosin Nagant. It's an old Russian sniper rifle.
I bought my son one.
Yeah, and you can get them for nothing. But the first time I ever shot it, I don't know if y'all are familiar with like YouTube gun channels. I was at Hickok 45's range, and he has a 200-yard gong. And the very first shot I ever shot out of that, I hit his gong, and I'm like, I can never sell this rifle. It was just amazing.
And that's with iron sights and everything.
And iron sights, nothing special to it.
You look at it, his has the Soviet Union sickle and...
Those rifles look like they came from World War One.
They did.
You know, oh, they were they?
They did. Yeah.
Oh, no wonder.
Yeah.
Ones do you have? Do you have the Russian one, or do you have the... nor is it Norwegian. What's the one where they, because I did some research on it, mm-hmm. and not very good, because you can tell I'm not sure what I'm talking about.
I think you're talking about Romanian.
Is it Romanian? Where they went in and they took all the Russians, the dead Russians rifles and redid them better.
Yeah.
It was like I have the Russian one, and it's, so I guess it's not as good, but I don't know.
They're amazing.
Yeah. It's a pretty neat, you know, and it's simple.
Yeah.
It's wood and metal, and
there's
not much to it, really.
Not. It's a bolt-action rifle, but they are tack drivers. And if you've ever seen the movie Enemy at the Gates, I think it was Jude Law, he played a Russian sniper. That was the gun that movie's about, was the Mosin Nagant. And it's the longest-running firearm that is still used in conflict today.
Wow.
Nowadays, it's used by, you know, insurgents over in the Middle East, but it's still used.
Yeah, not a great. So, I mean, it's a good gun, but I don't know that it doesn't
compared to what we have now. No,
it's basically like the Russian equivalent of the M1 or something. I would assume.
Yeah.
Something that our great grandparents had.
It's cool. It's cool to take to a range and fire it and have, you know, like the range guys be like, oh wow, look at that. You know,
don't see a lot of those.
Yeah, you don't see those every day. And then, you know, my 18-year-old son is like kind of showing it off, and you know he knows it, and he's done research on it and all that kind of stuff. Cleaning it is a pain, though.
It is, especially if you get it right out of like one of the MilSurp places, military surplus.
Yeah.
Because there's this stuff called Cosmoline that they soak it in. Oh, it's just gel.
It's just goop.
Yeah, and I found one product where you can just soak it in it for 30 minutes and take it out, and you can wipe it all off with paper towels.
Oh.
But it's Carbon Destroyer by Modern Spartan Systems. But that stuff's awesome. But other than that, you got to take a steamer to it and do all kinds of crazy stuff to get Cosmoline.
What's it called? Carbon Destroyer?
Carbon Destroyer by Modern Spartan Systems. And I could be saying that wrong, but so I'm pretty sure that's it.
While he's doing that, let's talk about Master of Arms. Again, let's go back to your show, because, again, tonight is the debut, the premiere. Mm-hmm. If you're watching on the Discovery Channel, if you're listening to the podcast, you know, if you can't be home, you got something to do, set your DVR so you can check it out. Zeke Stout is one of the co-judges / co-hosts who is going to be in the middle of the show. But like, whenever you're signed up for the show, is it just a one season run initially, and then we hope that it gets picked up? Or did they say, hey, look, we want to go ahead and do, you know, 15 episodes and see where this takes us? Or
we do 8 episodes for the first season.
Okay.
And they can't order another season until it runs and they see what the ratings
when are. When all 8 or once tonight happens?
I think once tonight happens. Don't hold me to that, but I think once they see the initial ratings, then they can go, all right, yeah, let's renew this. Yeah, I know it's not all eight, but it might be one or two episodes. They have to see the ratings come in, something like that. But yeah, if we get the ratings, then we get to continue having a job.
I would think it would be an easy pickup. I mean, because I watch like Gold Rush and all that kind of stuff. So that's a great lead.
Oh,
because you're right after Gold Rush.
We either, this is what I keep telling people, we either did something really, really right, because Gold Rush is Discovery Channel's number one hit show. I mean, they have the highest ratings.
That's the number one show?
Oh, yeah. Last week, they were the number one show on cable on Friday nights.
Yeah.
And for us to be right after them, we either did something really, really right, or it's so bad what we did, they're desperate to just get us ratings. So one or the other has happened.
I would think you guys did something right.
I hope so. Yeah.
These kinds of shows are really hot right now.
Yeah.
And you're striking right when it's hot with a whole, it's a new take on the whole genre.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, the fact that you're involving bolted, like arrows and crossbows and guns and knives and swords and axes is really cool.
Yeah.
Because everything else is then going to seem limited. And I'm sorry, guys, doom on you, because I want to see more, bigger, better, badder. You know, I love that.
And there will be. We've already... We're throwing around ideas for season two if we get it.
You better make a cannon. Somebody better have a cannon. Don't give a hint. Whatever. I'm just saying.
You might. Well, actually, you might get something quasi-cannon like this season. They've already shown
like
on
those
promo.
Personnel cannons from the ships. Like, you ever see the pirate ship cannons?
Let's just say they showed it on a promo. There are flintlock grenade launchers.
What?
Yes. And that will be season one. Yep.
That was a thing?
They weren't effective, but they had them, yeah. And it was mostly, it was made for military, and then it ended up being used more in pirate life. Because what they would do, okay, these little musket balls, not little, but big musket balls that they were using as cannonballs, weren't really doing a whole lot of damage. So what they started doing is they would cover wooden balls or something with tar or some kind of something, light it on fire, and shoot it into the mast or the sails.
Yeah, kind of.
And
like,
it would burn the sails down. So that's kind of what it was most effective as. It didn't wasn't really effective as an actual grenade launcher, but yeah, we did one of those, and it's a cool episode.
Big D, have you ever seen one of those old like pirate cannons fire grape shot?
Uh-uh.
Have you, Carson?
I don't know.
That is like, imagine a cannon, all the power of a cannon, and then combine it with a shotgun. It's the most insane thing you've ever seen. I mean, it would wipe out everybody on deck. Those things were just nuts.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're pretty intense.
The pirates had some good stuff.
They did.
Way better than the pirates do in Somalia.
I'm ordering that stuff that you're talking about.
The Flintlock grenade launcher?
No. The go-getter, whatever it is.
Carbon destroyer.
Oh, yeah, that stuff's great.
I just got the 16-ounce. That's probably enough, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't need a whole lot.
Is it wrong that when Bubba said the Pirates had some good stuff, I immediately thought, yeah, because at one time they had like Barry Bonds and Bobby Bonilla.
I know. And
that was the glory days, man.
And I think they had Willie Stargell still at the very very end of his thing.
Yeah. They have a really great ride in Disney World. I know that.
And every once in a while, Johnny Depp, who has nothing better to do, will show up.
Yeah, which,
and he'll be like,
"Does he really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah." Every once in a while, he'll get dressed up as Captain Jack and go stand on the ride, and people will come through, and he'll be like, "Hey, hello, it's me."
Because they have an animatronic. They've got like three or four Jack Sparrows through the ride, and then they'll just kind of like put him in front of one, and people are like, "Wait, is that actually? Yep, that's Johnny Depp." There's videos of it.
Y'all see him in town.
I have. That's what I was about to say. It was so weird because I had heard that he bought a house here.
Yeah.
And I was at, it was either Walmart or a grocery store or something. And I see this guy walk by and he buys his own
groceries?
Yeah, what?
Well, it was a store. I don't know what it was.
That's crazy.
You're used to seeing his usual getup with these wild hats and a scarf and how he always dressed when you see him on TV or in magazines. But it was just a guy in a baseball cap and a t-shirt. And I was like, that guy looks really familiar. And it was eating me up. I'm like, okay, is this an old friend? Who was that? And I kept walking by him. And then finally I looked a closer look and he looked up and he kept walking. And I was like, holy bleep. I don't know if y'all cuss on the podcast or not.
No.
That was Johnny Depp.
I don't cuss at all in general. Yeah, I saw him. He was driving a Range Rover, but it was the small. Was that
what's like the inexpensive one? Like the what is it? The Discovery, the LR4.
Nah, I think it is LR2. I think it was the Discovery.
Or the Freelander that they had a couple
years
ago.
No, it wasn't the Freelander, but it wasn't the full size, which kind of surprised me. But he was driving it.
I thought he lived in Paris.
I think he lives there.
He has like 20 houses.
No, the ex lives in Paris. He's now. Oh, so I'm like, can we just get back? I mean, like, y'all are talking about the car. You saw Johnny Depp. Like,
he didn't tell
on.
The car.
I mean, what?
Look
like,
at that.
What?
Look how angry she is at you now, D.
Like, he's a Hollywood vampire. Like, come on, man.
He kind of looked over at me because I'm in a Range Rover, which full size, by the way. And
because anything else wouldn't fit.
I couldn't fit in anything. Anyway, he looks over at me, and we kind of did the old, like, bro, like, head nod up thing. You know,
you're
like,
in the club?
That's the version of the Jeep Wave for Range Rover driver.
You had a moment with Johnny Depp?
No, I didn't have a moment
yes,
with
you
him.
Yes, you did. You nodded.
I just,
if
yeah.
You have the nod.
That's a thing.
Yeah. Reverse nod. The reverse nod.
The best, though. The best, chin up. I'll tell you the best Range Rover story in Nashville is I had just gotten the truck maybe 6 months. And I really wanted to get the supercharged version, but it was like $15,000 more.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm already stretching it as it is. I'm just going to, you know, it's just fine. And I was on these back roads and I come up on a black one just like mine, same year make, except for his was supercharged.
Right.
And
it had the badge on it.
Yep. And the lights are different in the back, a little bit different. So anyway, I come up on him and I'm just kind of watching. And all of a sudden, I notice this guy gets on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So I get on it. So we've got two black Range Rovers just speeding through.
You look like there's a royal emergency.
Yeah. Like- And we are hauling. This went on for miles and just having a blast. And come back up. It's over off Moran Road. Mm-hmm. And come out and slowing down. And this guy puts his window down. And as I'm passing him, he pulls off to the left into his driveway because it was Alan Jackson.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Alan and I were racing each other unbeknownst to me. And it was pretty sweet.
Did he like give you the nod or
yeah,
anything?
Yeah, he waved.
Did he do the reverse nod?
No, he didn't do the reverse. Okay. No, it was a full on, hey, Art Gorner, doodaloo. It was that.
Hey, diddly-doo,
I'm
going to
start doing that.
And I know he was like, that was fun, because I was like, that was fun. It could have been anyone. I didn't care that was Alan. It was just kind of added.
So what year is your Range Rover?
Mine's in 06.
Are the electrical problems gone? Because I've always wanted one. I love the way they look. I think they're just amazing. But every single person I know that has had one said they're nightmares.
If anybody knows that car inside and out, it's Big D's mechanic.
Okay.
Because he bought it when it was new.
So there's my
and
answer.
Still, but you know what? It's. I mean, you've got hundreds of thousands of miles on it.
I have 260,000 miles.
Wow.
Just clicked over. Now, I do have, now, 49, I was on the way to work one day, and it was, you know, early, and I was turning a corner, and I hear this, and I'm dead. It just stops. Call the guy, pull it in, and after the show, he called, he goes, yeah, he goes, man, your whole transmission is fubar'd. It's done.
And it wasn't given any kind of notice before that?
No, it was fine. And so he goes, I go, what is that going to cost? He goes, well, it's under warranty.
Oh, nice.
I go, oh, nice. He goes, you got a 50,000-mile warranty. Let me go around and see how many miles you have on it. 49,820. He goes, home, you're not going to believe this. So it's got to put a brand new transmission on it. Yeah. And so now the transmission, with it being this many miles, it's a little slippy. I've got to be real careful with it. Like, I can't pull up to a stop sign, hit stop, and then just gun it.
Yeah.
It'll kick me in the back and with those teeth just
grabbing. But
that's
so you're only still on the second transmission.
Yeah.
That's pretty great, man.
I mean, I really baby it. 260.
Yeah.
I mean, I really baby
it. He really does. And also, his air conditioner doesn't work.
Air conditioner hasn't worked.
His CD player doesn't work.
See, I couldn't do that. I sweat like crazy. And
windows
he does, too.
Yeah.
You know.
But I just had the windows down, you know. But the next car I want to get is a 1970 Chevelle.
Something else
Ooh,
without air
nice.
Conditioning.
They have air conditioning. They have air conditioning.
70s, yeah.
Yeah, they have it. You can get it with the factory, like the original, or you can get it now. They've done the all aftermarket stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what a big block, 454 big block.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I almost went Range Rover with my new vehicle I just bought.
What do you have?
I've got a Yukon XL Denali Edition.
Okay. That's what we had this weekend.
Yeah, I love that thing. It's got the little secret compartment that goes up and down on the dash. Well, it's not a secret anymore.
We didn't see that. We missed that.
It was a secret.
Oh, y'all hadn't seen that? Oh, no. Yeah. You press a little button on the radio. You don't know what it is. That's how I figured it out. It's just got a little square.
I played with the lane holding because we were driving across the desert, and I just sat there doing the lane holding. I would let go of the steering wheel, and it would go, bing, 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 bing. And it kept
vibrate your seat.
And I kept doing it on purpose because I'm like, ooh, I like this seat vibrating thing. But I just let it lane hold me, you know, until it finally would throw a fit, and it's like, dude, hold the steering wheel.
Yeah, just do your thing.
I'm like, there's nobody but me on this road. I'm safe. Me and a saguaro cactus. Oh
my God, I kept joking that it looked like the scene from Back to the Future 3 when the Indians are chasing the DeLorean through the desert. That's what it looked like.
Dude, it was Westworld, baby.
My favorite thing about mine, it's jet black, and I've got two American flags in front of each door. So everywhere I pull up, people are like whipping their heads around like, oh, is that like Secret Service? Who is this? And staring to see who gets out.
What do you mean you have flags?
Like decals.
Like the little American flag decals. Oh, okay. Not like the actual flag sticking out of the front, like the president's
vehicle.
He's vehicle.
Nixon rolling through. Look, here comes Harry Truman. Oh, very nice.
Welcome back, boys. Way to go. Get them. Give them hell. That's cool. Yeah, I like it, man. It's a good truck, man. It's what I like about it is that I can put the seat all the way back. I can put the steering wheel forward, and I've got so much room.
Nice.
I mean, for you, you have to have something big because you're so tall.
Yeah.
I'm 6'3". I'm not as tall as you, but it's a big difference, man. Yeah. People don't realize, you know, being tall is great. Until
exactly,
until
we have to do squats, push ups, pull ups, bench press.
What does that
burpees.
Have to do with? What does that have to do with? but yeah, no,
none of that's fun.
No, that's yeah. God, I remember being. Here's the problem. What are you? 6'7". 6'7". Mm-hmm. So you're 6'7", and I'm gonna guess you're 3-something.
I was on the show, and I saw footage of the show, and now I'm down to 280.
Well, Zeke is 6'7" and weighs less than me.
Yeah. When you're tall like that, man, your weight just, I mean, 280 is pretty thin.
Yeah.
For 6'7", that's not very much.
Like, my doctor says my goal weight is 220.
No way.
I would be an Ethiopian
no
at that
way.
Point.
That's
no,
the same thing with me. No. My goal weight's supposed to be like 190, and at 190, I would look like was
tiny.
Yeah. Philadelphia.
So my goal is to be a lean 270. Did you say Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Really? And you would. You wouldn't look
And we're done.
Did I say that?
You just ended the podcast.
You pulled a Bubba.
Did that, you that's ended
usually,
the podcast.
That's usually me who says something completely wrong.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes.
All right. I got to go anyway. This is
what
fun.
Got? What do you got to do?
I'm going. Kane Brown's going to play us some new music off his new record, and I want to go hear it.
You're going
to
sit in
a
room
week.
And listen to somebody play their CD?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Or songs off his laptop.
He's coming in next Friday. I feel like I need to know about the album before he comes in.
What is the setup like? Seriously.
I don't know. I've never been in this particular room.
It's awful. Bubba, you know, Bubba and I did it for Keith
Urban. No, it's not like that. This is like a thing. There's going to be 100 people there.
And I think that everybody gets their own headphones.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that's usually pretty
cool. That's what they did for us for Keith Urban.
Years ago, Bubba and I got to town, and Patrick's like, hey, they got this thing where
you have to do it.
Keith Urban wants you to go and listen to his album.
It was about 10 years ago, and I had to force them to go.
And I was like, well, I mean, that's kind of cool to hang out with Keith Urban, and, you know, listen to his songs, and whatnot. So we get to this thing, the security. It's like in a business office. It's weird. It was like in this business office. So we go up there. It's like a lawyer's office on the 8th floor or something. Get in there and walk into this conference room, big table, and there's this woman comes in. She goes, "Hey," and it's just us, like a deposition, just me and Bubba. She comes in. She goes, "Hey, how are you? We had to sign this paper of some sort. I don't know."
Saying even you
we
weren't
signed.
Recording it.
And then she put a CD in the thing, hit play, and walked out. And
left
the music starts.
In there.
And Bubba and I go,
that is not usually what we go
to.
When Carson and
where's
this.
Where's Keith? That was it. They wanted us to stay there for an hour and just listen to it.
And we did.
And you know what? It's awkward to leave.
We kept thinking that, okay, well, this is... Something's going to happen.
At some point, he's going to pop out and say, what'd you think?
Hey, what
it is. It's like a hidden camera show.
Yeah. I thought that.
Like my new record?
At one point, I think like cut eight, I went, are we on camera?
Yeah. Is there like a Keith in the box in the corner?
Yeah. I was like, hello. You know, I think if we can just, this is just fast forward this and click.
Click.
There we go.
We got the gist of this one.
Okay, next.
The beginning of that sounded familiar, but then it took a weird turn.
It was a very good album.
Because I did that with... Big and Rich came out with the, I don't even remember the name of it, but it was like an electronic moonshine album they did that was kind of like party music, less country, more party music. So we went to Big Kenny's house, and the beginning was exactly like that.
Kenny's
like,
or John's?
Big Kenny's.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah.
And usually John that invites people to his house. But yeah,
I've been there too.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, that was intense. That
Did you play with the 50 cal on the roof?
I was there because of a fundraiser that we had a Barrett 50 cal there.
Yep.
We didn't, I mean, it's downtown. We didn't shoot it, of course.
Oh, he's got a 50 cal on his roof.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Anyway. So how did your thing go?
Yeah, but it was the same thing. We walked in, there was a lady, we had to sign a piece of paper. We stood in a room and it was probably 15 different media people and we're just standing there.
Stupid.
And they're like, hey, you know, would y'all like to hear some of it? And they want it was almost like they wanted us to all go like the Mickey Mouse Club. Yay! And everybody just kind of nodded their head.
Yeah.
But then it flipped. Kenny comes down. He's like, hey, this is exciting, blah, blah, blah. And then each one of us got to go upstairs and spend 10 minutes with them, interviewing them, and then come back down.
Weird.
Up until that point, it was centered the same.
Well, what I'm going to is a party where they're going to give us food and beer and then
make you sit in the room.
There's the secret.
You have some whiskey, Patrick? Mm-hmm. Five whiskey, Patrick?
Noon on a... Yeah,
they're giving you a discount code for rides over there.
I know. I've already put my
thing
in. I took my ride. He's outside to pick me up now.
We'll go.
So
26 minutes, 26 cents a minute, I think, is their waiting cost.
For the ride?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there is a waiting cost. They have to wait on you.
So seriously, is Five Whiskey Patrick going to make a...
Five Whiskey Patrick is not going to show up on a Friday afternoon at a public event.
I think Kane would like to see Three Whiskey Patrick.
Three Whiskey Patrick. That's fine.
He'd be like, you want to try and get my new truck? You want to try and climb in my new truck?
Because I have to pick my daughter up at 6. So,
Yeah, you don't need to be
drinking. Yeah, you don't need to drink.
Kids are lame.
There'll be no whiskey drinking today.
Stupid kids.
All right,
bye, Patrick.
Wrap it up.
All right, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
My wife graduated from Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Go Tigers.
It's a must win, man. It's a must win.
It's a must win for both. That's the crazy. Yeah.
Hey, Patrick, if Alabama wins, okay, let's say it's a 7-point game and Alabama wins, that LSU's out for sure. But does Bama get to stay? Yeah, because you already got a one loss. You already got one loss team in there with. Or is it not a one loss team? There's not a
this year.
LSU's the only one loss.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. If LSU wins, Bama's still in. You can just mark it down. You're gonna have to beat them again in the playoff. 100%. If LSU wins and wins out and wins the SEC, they will go to the playoff. But Alabama will still get in the playoff, barring a loss to Mississippi State or Auburn.
Did your wife celebrate Nick Saban's birthday?
No, she's not that bad.
Is it Nick Saban's birthday?
Yeah. I think it was yesterday. Somebody posted it on Facebook. That's the only reason
I
know.
It's like an Alabama national holiday. I mean, right? Holiday.
Well, I was getting excited because I'm a Longhorn fan, and they were creeping on up, and then they screwed up against Oklahoma State.
Well, you stumbled against Maryland. That was your problem.
Second
year in a row.
Exactly. Maryland's got our number for some reason, man.
It's not like they just show up for you guys.
Yeah, it's really
It's not
weird.
Like they're super great.
No.
I don't think.
No.
But yeah, y'all look good against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Look really good.
Second half of Oklahoma State, we look good, but just not enough.
That
was bad.
You guys have to beat West Virginia. If you don't beat West Virginia, you're done.
Yeah.
Your bowl chances are gone. Yeah. Well, that's what you're playing for now. But
I'm excited because Herman has got that team turned around, finally.
Did you like the fight? Were you into the fight? I was kind of into that fight.
I was a little into it.
I was too.
I like seeing him fired up.
I'd be too. I think it's good for his players. I think it's good whenever you see your coach kind of, you know, get a little uncoachy or whatever.
What are you talking about?
Herman Tom in the Herman. Fight.
Oh. Is that why you came back in here? Patrick is like, he's got somebody waiting on him.
I can't miss college football talk.
He comes back in and puts his headphones back on.
I sat through gun talk and then car talk. Bored out of my mind. And then you start talking about college football when I got to go.
You can have college football talk with your Lyft driver. I'm sure he'll love college football. Have fun with that. Well, listen, man, it's good to see you. Congrats on the show. And tonight,
Discovery tonight. Channel. Make sure you're watching Master of Arms.
9 Central, 10 Eastern. And if you DVR it, watch it within a day.
Yeah, for real. It counts. That's the only way. If you're, and that's a weird thing because you have so many people that go, man, we watch that show every week off the DVR. I don't know why it got canceled. Because you waited actually 2 weeks to watch it.
Yep.
Exactly.
If you want a show to stick around, this is how you send a message. You watch it immediately, either live or within 24 hours. That way they get the credit for it and your show gets the ratings they need. That way they can stick around.
And I always feel like such a hypocrite because my wife and I, we binge watch everything. Like, I've got a good friend that's on Mayans right now, that Sons of Anarchy spinoff.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because I watched the 2 episodes and now we're like saving up a bunch to binge watch.
Yeah.
But now I'm turning around and I'm like, oh crap, now
you
I have a
watch
show.
It within 24 hours.
Yeah, you gotta watch it within 24 hours.
I need
or else.
You, man. My kids gotta eat.
Exactly.
I'll watch your show if you watch mine.
I gotta have a job.
Also, if you wanna go to the private party, it's gonna be at City Winery.
Yep. Show up and ask for the Master of Arms party.
And, don't do that. Don't. Just in case y'all don't realize he's kidding. He's kidding.
I don't know where it is.
He is making that up.
Someplace.
So the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. And again, just remember, it is on Discovery Channel tonight. Zeke Stout, Master of Arms.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
Patrick, sing us out.
Okay.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay. Because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
It was the podcast.
What's that? Is it cool to take a picture?
Yeah, we'll take a picture.
No, don't take a picture.
We're going to take a picture.
Just wait till we're off.
Let me turn this off.
Oh, my gosh.
Turning this off now.
What are you doing, Zeke? You're being weird.
Picture,
don't take it now. We're still on. Oh, my God.
My bad.
Amateur.